If you'll take out a Bible and turn with me to John chapter 20. John chapter 20. If you didn't bring a Bible, we have tried to provide Bibles for you. It's the red one right there in the front of your pew rack. It looks like this. Just take it out. Turn to that fourth gospel in the New Testament, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. John chapter 20. We're going to look there in a minute. We encourage you to follow along. If there's not one there in the pew rack, scooch up to somebody who has a Bible so you can follow along. We're going to read there in just a moment. And if you don't have a Bible at home, feel free to take that red one home with you, and that can be your own copy and compliments of us, because we believe every home should have a copy of God's Word. So if you don't have a Bible, feel free to take that. But right now, open it to John chapter 20. We'll read there in just a moment. Today on Easter Sunday, we're talking about peace. We're talking about that which comes to this world, or which this world desires. I mean, we live in a world that needs peace, don't we? I mean, you don't have to go very far. You don't have to go past the morning paper, do you? Open it up, turn on the news. We got war. We got unrest. I mean, we celebrated Earth Day last week, and it's almost like the Earth needs a break, doesn't it? I mean, even the Earth, with the earthquakes and the tsunami, we've gotten tsunamied, we've been earthquaked, we've been all kinds of stuff. Stuff is happening all over. It just seems like there is unrest, unease everywhere. We need some kind of peace, right? I mean, what are we looking for? What are we looking for? What do people thrive more than anything else? What do we desire? Just some peace. Especially here in Northern Virginia, isn't that the truth? You know? I mean, in Northern Virginia, where your schedule rules and you're often double booked and you have more to do than you could possibly do, and oh man, if you have kids and stuff, forget about it. You're running from here to there, you see yourself coming and going. You're getting on the beltway with all those other crazy people, and you know, life in Northern Virginia is noisy. It's hard to find peace, isn't it? When I was growing up, that was one thing that I heard a lot from my mom. She'd say, "Come on, kids. Just give me 5 minutes, peace." You ever heard that? I know nobody else's household said that, but it's a constant mantra of parents, isn't it? Hey, there was this game we played when we go on trips, you know. Maybe you've played it before. I don't know. It was always supposed to be fun. It was like, let's see who can be quiet the longest. You ever played that? Some of you want to, I know. You know, it just never was that much fun to me as a kid. It's like, wait a minute, I'd lose all the time. So you can be quiet the longest. We just want peace and quiet. We want something that settles us, something that gets us away. That's what we're looking for, something within our hearts, something that we can say, just a quiet moment, just some peace, just something that settles my life for a minute. But you know what? Guess what? You can't turn Northern Virginia off, can you? Believe me, I've tried. I don't care what kind of car you drive, you can roll up the windows and shut the door, and you can still hear it. Northern Virginia is all around you, and it doesn't matter. You can get those new windows, you know, seal tight. You can still hear it. It's everywhere. It's everywhere. You can't get away, but you want to. Something within you says, I need some peace. I need to get settled. So where do people look? Well, unfortunately, we see a lot of this. And we see a lot of this as people are in the news and stuff. They've searched for this peace, some kind of settling in their life, some kind of answers in things like drugs and alcohol. Like, that's their escape. That's how they can get free of the noise around them. Or maybe they even look at their material possessions, their money, and the things that they can own and hang on to, and yet they still don't find that peace. And you know what's really wild is that we even come to look at the graveyard for peace. Don't we? One day when I'm finally gone, one day when I finally lay my head, I'll find peace. We even put it on a gravestone, don't we? Rest in peace. But I want to tell you something. If you don't hear this today, anything else today, I want you to hear this. You cannot find peace in the graveyard. He is risen. You cannot find peace in a graveyard. But unfortunately, the lie of our society and some even reputable people who give counseling and advice can say the only time you'll have peace is when you die. And we've seen many, too many, take that way out to find peace. But let me let you know here today, I don't know where you are or what you're thinking, but you cannot find peace in a graveyard. So where do we find peace? According to the Scriptures, peace is something totally different. It's something that's beyond that. It's something that's beyond death. It's something that you can experience in life. Because it's only in life that you can experience true peace. If death is the end, that's hopeless. That's not peace. We have to start by defining it. Before we get to our scripture and look at what the scripture says, let me tell you what let's define peace. And if you have your blue sheet, you can follow along and track along a little bit right there. Tries to help you out there so we can kind of keep up together and follow the train of thought. But how do we define peace? The first thing is what peace is not. The peace is not, let me tell you this, number one, it's not the absence of trouble. If you've lived any life at all today, if you have been anywhere, you know that no matter what, there's always going to be trouble. Even when you're in a moment of quietness, you know that that phone can ring, that bill can come in the mail, that things can happen, you can get bad news and things. We know that trouble is always among us. If peace is the absence of trouble, we only find ourselves in frustration. Because trouble's around every corner. This life is filled with troubles. Peace needs to be something that happens even in the midst of trouble. Not only is it not dependent on the absence of troubles, it's not dependent on our circumstances. If peace is dependent on our circumstances, then wherever we go, whatever we do, if there's always the chance, things can spin out of control. A curveball comes out. All of a sudden, the bottom falls out of that deal. All of a sudden, we don't have the health that we thought we had. All of a sudden, we don't have the money that we thought we had. All of a sudden, we don't have the relationship we thought we had. And all of a sudden, circumstances take a turn for the worse. And there's no peace if peace depends on the circumstance. What are we looking for? I tell you what, I need a peace that I can hold on to in the midst of trouble. I need a peace that I can hold on to in the midst of the circumstances. I need a peace that gives me hope and joy in a cemetery. I need a peace that's beyond this world, beyond the things of this world, so that in the midst of my trouble, in the midst of my circumstances, I can experience peace. Is that what you want? That's what I want. That's what I need. Is that what you want and need? I think we all want peace. And when we say, please give me peace, we're not just talking about quiet. We're talking about something deep within our souls that in the midst of the noise of this world, we find solace. So, how can we find that peace? The Bible gives us a different definition of peace. Before we come to the point where we are in John chapter 20, let me help you. The biblical definition of peace are basically three basic facts that the Bible tells us about peace as we go into this scripture. Number one, peace comes from God. Peace comes from God. That's it. You can't have peace, you can't find peace, you can't get a piece of peace, you can't have anything like that without God. The Bible says it comes from Him. You can get quiet without God. You can pay your bills without God, you can do other things without God, but friend, you cannot have peace. According to the Scripture, from cover to cover, peace comes from God. He is the one. He was known as the Prince of Peace. He gives peace. Throughout the Scripture, God gives us peace. Jesus said in John 14, 27, "Peace I give to you." It comes from God. The beginning of a bumper sticker says, "No God, no peace." No God, no peace. Without God, you cannot find peace. So, number two, it comes in relationship. It comes in relationship. To experience true peace, it requires a relationship with God. It requires more than just knowing about it. It requires more than just knowing where it is and who can give it. We can say, "I know God has peace," and that's where you go to get it. But that's like sitting at home and saying, "I know where I can go to get groceries," but you never leave your home to go get it. Guess what? No groceries. Why? Well, just because you knew where it was doesn't mean you have it. You have to get it. That's where you have to go. And it, not only is it, you know the bumper sticker, not only is it N-O, no God, no peace, but it's no God, K-N-O-W, no peace. It's a relationship. I want you to hear this again today. It is not religion. It is not just knowledge of God. It is not education. None of that is what gets us there. It is a relationship. Do you know Him? Peace only comes if we know Him. It comes through relationship. We can know where it comes from, but we must go there to get it. And when we go there, we must know God. The third thing is that it comes with life. Again, I bring up the lie of our society, the lie that we find so often, and that is peace comes through death. Peace does not come through death. It comes through life. Think about it, will you? Think about it. If death is the end, there is no peace in that. It's the finish. You're done. Death, we can only find peace in death if there's life on the other side. Peace only comes from life. Death brings fear. That's why the Apostle Paul could write the words that we sang in one of the hymns this morning, and that is, "Oh death, where's your sting? Oh death, where's your victory?" There's no victory there, because if we love the Lord, if we've gone to God for our peace and there's peace in our soul, then we can find peace even in death. But there is no peace in death itself. So where are we? Let's go to our situation here, because here we are in John chapter 20. What's happened? Let me remind you what's just happened, if you've forgotten. And that is Jesus, the Messiah, the one who claimed to be the Christ, the one who said, "I am the Son of God, God in flesh," the one who came to save us, our knight in shining armor. He showed up to save us and to show us that God loves us. He had come in, He'd done miracles, He'd raised the dead, He'd healed the blind and the lame, and He was proclaiming the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Our hero has just been snuffed out. He was arrested, bound, beaten, mocked, nailed to a cross till he was dead and buried in a grave. What's the situation? Jesus, our hero, is dead. What are we going to do? Where's the peace in that? I thought death brings us peace. No, it doesn't, does it? Let's read. Follow along as we look in John chapter 20. Here are these disciples. Jesus is dead. He's buried. What happens now? Where are they? They've gone to an upper room. We're going to read in chapter 20, verse 19. If you somehow don't have a Bible, look up the screen. You can follow along. Here it is, beginning with 19. On the evening of that first day of the week, when the disciples were together with the doors locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and he stood among them and he said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. The disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. And again, Jesus said, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you." And with that, he breathed on them and he said, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone his sins, they are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven." Let's pray. Sweet Heavenly Father, we're rewinding back 2,000 years and in that upper room with fearful disciples, and you spoke to them. Could it be, is it possible that 2,000 years later, Lord, these words that you spoke then could be alive and fresh and new for us today? Could it be today that we could learn a little bit about peace in the busy place where we live here, Lord, where the noise never ceases, where the schedules never stop, where time continues to click on? Could we find peace today? Lord, have your way with us. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. These disciples, the situation, Jesus is dead. They're locked away in their upper room. They've locked the door. And I want you to hear this today as well, that there is no grave that can hold Jesus down, and there is no locked door that can hold Jesus out. Amen? Amen. And some of us may be here today, and we hide in the fear of our addicts, of our lives, and we've locked the door, and we hold Jesus at arm's length, and we say, "No entry." And I want you to know that there is no locked door that keeps Jesus out. He shows up. He's here today. And you may think you have him locked out, but he's here to speak to your heart today. No locked door will keep him out. He's here to let you know today that he loves you. He has a plan for you. And he wants to know you. So that's what the disciples have. Do you see there is no peace in this room right now? There is only fear. They are locked up in fear. And isn't that what fear does to us? Isn't that what fear does? We lock ourselves away. Fear just has you hunker down. It has you take a defensive posture, and you go through life in fear. Have any of you ever been afraid? And maybe today you fear what the future is going to bring. You're afraid of what the next stock market's going to do, or when the next tsunami's going to hit, or you're afraid of what's going to happen to your house or your mortgage or in your job. Maybe you're afraid of what's happening in relationships. But we live in a state of fear, and so we lock the doors and we just only hope and pray that something will work out. And today I want you to know that the Easter message is that Jesus breaks into your fear and wants to give you peace. Are you living in fear today? Because if you are, you don't have to. Are you living in a place where you're the unknown and the future has a grip on you that you can't get rid of? Are you the one that lays in your bed at night and because of the worries and cares of this world and the things that you don't know as well as the things that you do know haunt you and rob you of the sleep that you so deserve but you can't get? Are you there? It's where the disciples were. They were afraid, and they locked themselves away. But Jesus showed up. He's alive. He is risen. Maybe that be the last time I'll do that. Don't trust me. Trust God, don't trust me. But listen to this. He shows up. He's alive. He's alive. What happens? Do you see any fear after that? Did you see it? Did you read it in the scripture? What happened? They were all scared? No. No. They were overjoyed. Jesus is alive. You see, peace doesn't come from death. Peace doesn't come from dead people. It comes from the living. And because Jesus is alive, all of a sudden, fear is chased out of that upper room. If you're afraid today, and if you're living in fear, I want you to know that Jesus can bring peace. The opposite of fear. The opposite of fear is peace, and the opposite of peace is fear. It chains you down, it haunts you, it holds you back, and Jesus says, peace be with you, and only a living Jesus can give it. You see, we don't worship a dead God. We don't worship a God of stone and wood that can't hear us or talk to us. We worship a live God. He's alive. And therefore, we can have peace. The peace that we want. The peace that's no matter what the circumstances, it can come alive. So Jesus is alive. So what does he do? I want to follow right along here. And just in this passage alone, these few verses, I can see four things that help us to just track with what he's doing here with his disciples. Because maybe you are locked away, like I said, in an upper room, shaking in fear because you don't know what life's going to bring next. You need peace. You are the one crying out saying, where can I find it? And maybe you even looked at the graveyard. But today, you are looking at Jesus. And here's what he does. Number one, he comes to you. He comes to you. He wants you to know that you are loved, that he loves you and who you are in him. He came to them. Where were the disciples? Out looking for Jesus? No, Jesus was dead. Jesus was looking for them. I love that about God. He looks for you. He looks for you. He's looking for you. The Bible tells us that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. We weren't looking for him. We didn't even want him. The very people that nailed him to the cross, the people who hate him and spit in his face, who ignore him unless they actually need something, you know, then they ask him like a Santa Claus for something. But Jesus looks for us. He comes to us. No grave can hold him in, but no locked door can keep him out. He comes to you today. He's speaking to your heart today. And you can lock the door today, but he's still here. Number two, it says, what did he do? After he came to them, he said, peace be with you. And then he showed them his hands and feet. He showed them his hands and side, and he said, hey, he revealed himself to him. He wants you to know who he is. He is the one. It's me, he says. I'm alive. And he says the very same thing to you today. But wait, we saw you crucified. I know. Look, it is me. And that was me. Yeah, Jesus died on the cross. Yeah, he was buried. That was me. But now I'm alive. You see, that means a lot. It wasn't just his double. It wasn't his twin. He didn't just pass out and all of a sudden he's alive now and somebody revived him. It was Jesus who died on the cross, and his death was important because that frees us. It conquers death. It makes the graveyard not the end. It now makes the graveyard just a door to pass through to go into eternity. And Jesus came out the victor. Is it good enough that he died? No. It's me. I'm alive. The third thing he says, peace be with you again. And then he says, as the Father has sent me, I'm sending you. I don't know how many times we can talk about this from this pulpit, but there is never too many times to hear that you are not just somebody God saves and brings to heaven for no reason. He has a commission for you. He has a job for you. I'm sending you. I want you to be a part of my plan. I love you, but I love you and I want you to be a partner with me in ministry. I want you to help other people know who I am. I want you to tell others that I'm alive. I need you to help me to be with me and to be commissioned to do what you are called to do. You were created to let the world know that Jesus is alive. The fourth thing is he breathes on them. Wow, what a picture, huh? He breathes on them, and through the power of the Holy Spirit, he empowers them. He says, I don't want you to just do it by yourself. We could not possibly do that. We couldn't possibly have the wisdom or be able to trust ourselves with what God is doing. And so he says, I will empower you. And he gave them the power and the authority, breathing on them the power of the Holy Spirit. He wants you to know where the power comes from, and it comes from God. So, Jesus comes to you. He shows up. He shows up. He's looking for you. He comes to you. He reveals himself to you. Look, it's me. I'm the one. He is the Messiah. He is the hope. He's everything that you thought he would be. He is the hero that you wanted, just not the one you expected. But let me tell you something today. Resurrection is a must. Okay? You know, there are a lot of churches that say, well, that Jesus didn't raise from the dead. And that's okay. We can still believe in Jesus if he just died on the cross for us. And that's it. No. No. Paul says, if that's what we got, if we don't have any hope in resurrection or life, then we're most to be pitied. Our faith is worthless. Because life is only what we see here. To die on the cross for us is a wonderful thing. To die on the cross for us, it released us from sin. It defeated death only, though, when Jesus was risen. Let me tell you something. You can't R.I.P. without L.I.F.E. Okay? You can't rest in peace without life. Yeah, I talk to people, well, you know, I like to live my life. We don't know if we're promised tomorrow, so you live for all you got. You do, you know, 100 miles an hour, you live for everything, you go for the gusto. Hey, you know what? I love that, and that's how I live my life too. But I don't do it because death is the end. And many do, don't they? That's what they mean when they say that. Well, you only got so long, so just go for it. And then finally, you know, you get slammed and you're in the graveyard, done. But boy, you lived it. Really? That gives you peace? Really? I don't know. I like to live life. And I like to live it with all the gusto that it has. And I want to squeeze every drop out of every day. But let me tell you something. It ain't over in the graveyard. And that is a peace that comes into my life even in the midst of trouble. Even in the midst of circumstances that may not be the best. Peace. Because death isn't the end. I got more living to do. I'll go for the gusto, but I'll go for it even after the grave. Amen? Because he is alive. Resurrection is a must. You can't RIP without LIFE. Otherwise, that is a worthless thing to put on anybody's gravestone. Because you can't find peace in a graveyard. Let me give you LIFE. It's easy to remember something. Because what is life anyway? What gives us that life? Where does that life come from that gives us that peace? If peace can only come from life, and I just want you to hear this out. First of all, peace can only come if we're loved. If we're loved. L, loved. Peace comes because it comes through relationship. It says, I quoted it a while ago in Romans chapter 5, verse 8. It says that even while we were yet sinners, Christ demonstrated his love for us by dying for us. He loved us. He loves us now. And love is only can happen if somebody's alive. And through that life and that love, we can find peace. The eye of life could be inspiration. It's inspiration. Because God, when Jesus showed up in that room and he came behind that locked door, he said, "You have a purpose. I'm sending you. I'm going to inspire you." They were overjoyed. Inspiration makes a difference, doesn't it? Don't we need inspiration to find life in the very circumstances that we live in? When you have to get up and you go to a job that you might not like that well, when you're on the beltway fighting that traffic, when the noise is too loud for you to be able to take, when your schedule is overwhelming you, when the money is less than what the bills say, and you're lacking it, you need inspiration. And when you're inspired, it changes the way things look, doesn't it? And life comes from inspiration from a God who loves you and who's alive. It can only come from life. F could be forgiven. Forgiven. Can you really have life? Can you really have peace without being forgiven? Oh, you know what I'm talking about, don't you? Those things that you hope nobody ever finds out. Those things that haunt you in the worst moments when you're not feeling that great and it just comes back and you think about the things. And you know, you say today on days like today, "Well, Pastor Mike, you have no idea what I've done. You don't know where I've been. You don't know what I've done. You don't know what I was thinking even this past week." And I want to tell you right now, it doesn't matter. God forgives you. He gives you forgiveness. And the chains that hold you down and haunt you, the chains that rob you of that sleep that you want so badly, the chains that rob you of the peace that you can have, even in troubles, that takes it away, those chains can be broken today because you are forgiven. Forgiven. Done. Free. You can't have peace without forgiveness, can you? Oh, guilt. Guilt. Conviction. It robs you of the peace. Finally, it has to be eternal. It can't end at the graveyard, can it? It has to be eternal. You know John 3:16. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, not die, but have everlasting life." Not die. Jesus is not dead. Was dead, not dead. If you believe, you don't die. Oh, will this body die? Will they lay it to rest someday? Sure enough. They might even put R.I.P. on my gravestone. I want you to know something. On my gravestone, that'll be true. But not because I'm dead in the grave, but because I'm still alive. Did you hear that? Can you say that today? That when they put that R.I.P. on your gravestone, will that really be true? Because if you're dead, it's not. Because you can't find peace in a graveyard. But you can find peace through the graveyard. Do you hear that? Through the graveyard. Because Jesus was dead and buried in a graveyard. No peace. But then he rose again, graveyard empty. Because Jesus is alive. What difference does that make to y'all? What difference does it make to me? Look at this statement right here. What difference does it make? Because Jesus died for your sin, Jesus died for your sins to free you from death, to free you from death. And because he lives, he can give us the peace we're looking for. Friends, if Jesus is dead, he can't give you peace. And if he can't give you peace, nobody can. But guess what? Not dead. That's Easter. Not dead. Jesus is alive. And because he's alive, he can give you peace. And because he does give you peace, even in the troubles and the circumstances of your life, he can give you peace. And then when it's all fallen down around you, you have something you can hold on to that keeps you true north, something that keeps you and gives you that joy and that inner peace that even in the chaos of Northern Virginia, you experience life and joy. Even in your upper room where you were afraid, but when Jesus shows up, joy, he's alive. Let me tell you today, he is alive. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, why do we seek peace from things that are dead? I don't know, but we do. May we come to you today and just, Lord, taste the peace that you have for us. Just like your disciples, many of us, Lord God, are so trapped and held captive by our fears that it's like being in a locked room. And the joy and the purpose and the fulfillment of life is almost snuffed out. And we think, Lord, that maybe in death is the only place we can finally find rest, finally escape. Oh God, that's so not true. It's only in life. And it's a life that can start even now. And death is merely a bump in the road. And Lord, I pray that each of us here, that you would speak to our hearts the words that you spoke to the disciples so long ago. Peace be with you. Thank you, Lord. We pray this in the name of Jesus, the Prince of Peace. Amen. This is an important time at Parkwood. We, at the close of every service, we feel an obligation to allow you an opportunity to respond to God. You do that right where you are. Your relationship to God is intimate relationship between you and him. And you can pray right where you are. We're going to stand and we're going to sing Jesus Paid It All. And as we sing it, you can do business with God. It's just praying. It's just letting him know, God, I'm tired of being locked up in the upper room of fear. Aren't you tired of that? Aren't you tired of being closed in? Aren't you tired of the, don't you need more than 5 minutes peace? It can only be found from God. You know where to get it. You willing to go there? You can today. Right where you stand, right where you sit, you can pray and get yourself right with him. Maybe there's other decisions. You want to come and pray, you can come and pray. We'd love to pray with you. Maybe you want to come and be a part of a church that our sole purpose, you know, we're not big old fancy church. We don't have a lot of rituals and rules and things like that. You know what our goal is? Our goal is to take the message that God is alive and loves us to the world outside, to a world that you see on the news every night, that you read about every morning in the paper, a world that needs hope, a world that needs to know they can find forgiveness and love from a God who loves them and is alive. We're dedicated to that. That's simple as that. You want to be a part of a church like that? We'd love to have you come and be a part of our church. You can come and do that even today. But whatever your decision, please make it right where you are, if you come forward, whatever, and then make that decision with God and go in his peace into this world. Let's stand, let's sing, let's just take an opportunity as we sing Jesus Paid It All.